Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the January 19th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. It's day four of action at the African Nations Championship Football Tournament in Cameroon. The competition, also called CHAN, is for African players who ply their trade in their respective home leagues. So you won't see stars like Mohamed Salah or Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who both play in the English Premier League. Tuesday's CHAN action is taking place in Cameroon's southwestern port city of Limbe. In the opening Group D fixture, Zambia is taking on Tanzania, and that will be followed by a match between Guinea and Namibia. In Group C results Monday in Douala, Cameroon, defending CHAN champion Morocco beat Togo 1-0 on a 27th-minute penalty kick by Yaya Jabrane. And neighbors Uganda and Rwanda played to a scoreless draw. Magume Davis Rakawinge filed this reaction report from Kampala, Uganda.
The two teams started the game with a great intensity, with both teams trying to score first in the East African Derby at the Reunification Stadium in Douala, Cameroon. Amavubi Stars keeper Jackie Tuyisenge almost scored on the 19th minute of the game, but his shot went a few centimeters away. The Ugandans reacted, and first half substitute Brian Ahebwa equal had a chance to put the Uganda Cranes ahead, but the run goalkeeper was alert and punched the ball away. The clear list of chances fell on Rwandans when Muhadil Kalisa's kick hit the crossbar, the relief for Ugandans. Both teams eventually settled for the draw, with Uganda dominating the game, but also Rwandans failing to convert the clear chances. Jonathan McKinstry, the Uganda Cranes coach, blamed the loss on the lack of experience among his players.
We needed more confidence, and I think all the players know that. They know we can do better. Second half was definitely a progression from the first half, and we've got to pick up from there and build on it again and again. So we've got to put the players back together now and make sure that we have as many people back to full fitness as possible. And really just, it's a case of removing the fear from the players, because we know if they pass the ball, we know that if they move it and they play that one and two touch football and get it into our midfielders and get it into the feet of our wide forwards, that we can be really effective.
Despite the loss, Ugandan midfielder Kalimu Watambala was excited, making a debut in the Uganda Cranes shirt. He says he will play better in the next games.
It has been my first time in CHAN tournament. I'm really impressed that I played the 90 minutes and I've learned many things from the game. Because whenever you're in big games, you run everything. Every time in the pitch, you run new things. So I'm looking forward to deliver in my second game and the best if given opportunity again.
Fitina Ombolenga, Mavubi Stars defender, emerged man of the match for his defensive exploits. Speaking in local dialect, Kinyarwanda, Ombolenga acknowledged it was a tough game playing rivals Uganda Cranes.
Honestly, this was a very difficult game for both of us, and it required us to use more energy and to be more focused. I am glad that I was voted a man of the match. It's a great feeling because I also came prepared to do my best.
Sports analyst Dalene Cheyune says he was not surprised by the result. He says the East Africans will have to beat tournament debutants Togo for a chance to qualify to the next round.
Both sides displayed quite a lot of naivety, especially in the midfield. As much as the Cranes tried to possess the ball, in the final third they were lacking, save for a few moments of brilliance that they did try to put out. But overall, with a goalless draw, each team now having a point, I think Morocco still remain the favourites to go through, having beaten Togo. And I think regards that fixture between Morocco and Togo, it clearly shows you that Togo will offer the physical challenge to both Uganda and Rwanda, and that could prove detrimental to both East African sides.
On Monday, Morocco began their title defence with a 1-0 win over Togo and topped the group with 3 points. On Friday, Rwanda's Amavubi, or Wasps, will take on the Atlas Lions of Morocco, while the Uganda Cranes will face the wounded Sparrowhawks of Togo. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala.
This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda Cranes national team. Now, with a vaccine being released across the globe, we can finally see light at the end of the tunnel. But it's important that whilst that vaccine is rolled out, that we all remain steadfast and alert and adopt the guidelines that are being given out by the Ministry of Health and our various health authorities to make sure that we keep each other safe and we keep ourselves safe until we can get rid of this pandemic. Good luck and good health to everybody.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The daughter of a Hall of Fame basketball player was the number 2 overall pick in the recent National Women's Soccer League draft. Joining us now with that story is Dan Friedel. Sporty greetings, Dan.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Is she the next Megan Rapinoe or Abby Wambach? Well, that's yet to be known, but we do know that Trinity Rodman has a championship pedigree. The up-and-coming soccer star is the daughter of Dennis Rodman, who won NBA championships as a member of both the Detroit Pistons and the Chicago Bulls. Trinity is 18. She made headlines last week as the number 2 overall pick in the National Women's Soccer League draft by the Washington Spirit, who sometimes play just a couple kilometers from VOA's studios at Audi Field in Washington, D.C. Rodman, who grew up near Los Angeles, California, was a one-time teammate of another famous daughter. As a girl, she played on the same team with Natalia Bryant, whose father was NBA star Kobe Bryant. Now, if you remember, Natalia's father, Kobe, and her sister, Gianna, died just about a year ago in a helicopter crash. In an interview after the draft, Trinity Rodman said she always enjoyed playing basketball when she was younger, but soccer had the stronger pull.
Obviously, like when you're young, you try a lot of sports. And I think soccer to me, it just felt more of like at home. Like I felt so comfortable playing. And I think I noticed like at a really young age, probably like 7 or 8, because I would get so annoyed when like we'd lose. And I'd just be like, why? So I'd like freak out on everything. And I think that soccer has just always been like embedded in my brain and I can't stop thinking about it. And I'm just like, I want to go out and play soccer. I want to learn more. I want to do this. I want to play with my feet, really. So I just kind of fell in love with the game.
That's Trinity Rodman, the daughter of ex-NBA star Dennis Rodman, who was the 2nd overall pick in the recent National Women's Soccer League draft. Rodman has played for the USA Women's Youth National Team and was in her first year as a student at Washington State University. Dennis Rodman was married to Trinity's mother for a short time. They divorced in 2004. Trinity Rodman said she'd often complain to her mother after her youth teams would lose. She'd say her teammates weren't playing hard enough. That's when she knew soccer would be her top sport. The first pick of the draft was Emily Fox, a defender for the University of North Carolina. She'll play for the expansion team in Louisville, Kentucky. Rodman was the first of 6 Black women chosen in the first 10 picks. She said she's thrilled with the chance to go play for the Spirit in Washington.
To even just be in the draft with my situation and my age is insane, but to be number two to an amazing team is out of this world. Like, I couldn't ask for anything more. And DC's just got an awesome program, awesome team. The coach is amazing. I've talked to him a couple times. I know he's a hardhead, but I'm so excited to be his player and learn and get better. But their team's awesome, and I'm so excited to go there.
Richie Burke, the hardhead, is the Spirit's manager. He was once a Liverpool and Everton prospect before leaving English soccer. Washington had another pick in the first round. The Spirit chose one of the West Coast's top forwards, Tara McCune, from the University of Southern California. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Dan Friedel.
Thanks, Dan. It'll be interesting to follow Trinity Rodman as she kicks off her professional women's soccer career with the Washington Spirit. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In more football news, the Columbus Crew won their second Major League Soccer Cup trophy last month with a 3-0 win over the defending champion Seattle Sounders. The Crew's team captain, Ghanaian defender Jonathan Mensah, dedicated the victory to the home fans in Columbus, Ohio, saying, and I quote, "A huge thank you to our fans. We are so grateful for their love and support." A few weeks after lifting the MLS Cup, Jonathan spoke with Yao Afusu-Larbi in Accra about his football career. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, let's listen in again to their conversation. Here's Yao.
You have had a good career progression. You've played for Ashanti Gold, for the Free State Stars, for Evian, for Angie, and now it's the Columbus Crew. What would you put your career progression down to?
Decent level right now. Obviously, as time goes on in your career, any career, you want to improve, you want to do better, you want to progress. So I'm grateful for my progression, and hopefully even more to come.
You sort of found a home in America and in Ohio, where you play at the moment. What do you make of the club, the Columbus Crew?
It's a big family, and I'm grateful to be part of this family. They really love the people that come around, not just to play football, but to live there, to work there. And Columbus is my second home now. The people are passionate about their club, their city, and I'm thankful that they've accepted me to be one of them. So thankful that I get to call that place home.
You're not just calling that place home. You're one of the leaders in the team, if not the ultimate leader of the team at the moment, as you were named captain. Now, what sort of responsibility does that put on your shoulders as captain of the Crew?
A lot. But I don't take all that. I accept all that, but I don't take all that on my shoulders, because all the team, all the players on the team doing their best to help the team move forward. So even though I am with the armband, most of the guys, you know, got experience. They've played in the league for a while. They've played in other places for a while, so they know the role of a captain is really a tough job to put all on your shoulders. So they've really helped me, and that's why we all saw that the team was doing incredibly this season. So credit goes out to the boys.
The Crew won the MLS Cup most recently. How did that make you feel, knowing that, you know, you were a leader of the side that orchestrated that sort of momentous win for the side?
It was an incredible achievement for the club and for the community. Then it comes down to the team, because the community and the club has done so much for us to be able to have that particular moment, because the team was on the verge of leaving town, and the community and the fans and the club came together and saved the club. So for us to be able to now win a championship for a club that was almost gone, It's a great achievement for the team, but most importantly for the fans.
What does it mean for you also to play in the Major League Soccer? There are quite a number of people who have not so good things to say about the Major League Soccer, but you're there, you're thriving. What does it mean for you to be playing in there?
I'm just grateful to be part of a league where people keep talking about it. Because if there's nothing good there, I don't believe people will talk about it. So, but it doesn't matter what they say. You know, it's their opinion and they have their rights to voice out their opinions. But at the end of the day, we all see the testament of what work the MLS is doing, and getting someone like Zlatan to come play there for a couple of years, and he's gone back to Europe doing well, you know, that should tell you there's something good happening there. So I'm just grateful to be part of it.
Right. Now, how competitive is it?
It is really competitive because for one of the best Ghanaian defenders ever to represent in the league, one of the best right backs ever for Ghana, in my opinion, Harrison Afful, to play there. You've gotten David Akam, one of the best talent in Ghanaian football ever. You've gotten the likes of Joseph Martinez, Carlos Vela. The list goes on.
Yeah.
I'm not the one to sit here to tell people what it's in the league. You know, they need to find out. They need to research themselves. And it's a great league, you know. So for me to be part of history, you know, just to be part of the players that played in the Major League Soccer is just enough for me. So I'm going to keep doing my best in the league, and hopefully a lot of people get the attention and what the league is about, and they can join in and also invest in it.
Right. Winning the MLS Cup is a great achievement, but looking at the crew, how far do you think that your team can go from here?
I believe the crew has established themselves as a championship team for years, but then it's been a while they won a championship. So us winning this one will ignite the strength of the team and the momentum of the team already, because you know we were one of the founders clubs. We were one of the teams that won it in the early stages. So now for us to win it again, it will boost the confidence of the fans, the society, and the organization itself, so that we do more, we invest more, and then you know the results will follow. So it's a blueprint that has been there already. It was just us to just reactivate it, and thankfully we did end of 2020.
Right. Now looking at also the standard of Ghanaian players who play in the Major League Soccer, what would you make of first the Ghanaian players and also the African players who are playing in there? If you look at their levels, are they players who are worthy enough of flying high the flag of Africa?
Oh yeah, I believe most of the guys that plays in the league that are from other places in Africa, most of them plays in the India national teams. Someone like Kai Kamara, Azira, with Chicago Fire, plays with Uganda. And you got a couple of other guys also that plays with Mauritania and all that. So, and talk of us, the Ghanaians. So it's a league that got all varieties of people from all backgrounds, from all other continents. So it's great to see that there are some Africans, and I urge other Africans to also do their research in the league and join the league, because it's an exciting league.
Right.
Yeah.
You're still part of the Black Star setup. It's been a while though, but what has been the communication between yourself and coach of the Ghanaian side, Siki Akona?
Funny enough, today I went on a breakfast or brunch with my wife, and I saw someone tap my back at 10, and it was the coach.
Okay.
He was like, hey, how you doing? I'm not going to talk much. I know you having your breakfast. So We're going to catch up. I'll contact you and then we're going to talk. But before then, he called me to congratulate me after we won the championship. And you know, we've communicated before. So it's great that he still always think about me, you know, talk with me. So hopefully whenever the time is right for him to invite me to join the team, I believe I will be part of the team. So I just need to keep doing my best with my club, and when the time is up, then I will be ready to come and help the team.
Yeah, you've been one of the most influential defenders for Ghana right through your time from 2009 when you won the World Cup with the under 20 side all the way through. You've been to several African Cup of Nations and stuff, and now you are one of the senior players in the team. Looking at the team Ghana has now, is there a possibility of having another cup run like we've had in the past few years at AFCON?
Yeah, I believe it's more than just the players. Looking at 2017 when Cameroonian team won it, you could see they were just hungry. You know, it didn't matter who was on the team. What mattered was their commitment, their determination, and what their goal was. Their goal was to go all out, and we all saw what happened. So if we can have all the ingredients that we have, the tools that we have, you know, because right now, yeah, even though we have a lot of players, but when the coach calls a squad, that is a squad that is going to represent the country. So we just need to prepare very well. And the preparation doesn't just start when the tournament is a month away. It starts right after the last African Cup. So we need to put in work every time. And I believe, you know, preparation meets the big opportunity. So if we prepare very well, I don't believe it's going to be difficult, you know, because it's a tournament and things happen. But when you prepare, you know, you are able to deal with circumstances that comes your way. So we just need to prepare, you know, whilst you're with your club. You still, you know, you think about it a little bit, even though you're with your club side. And when the time comes, we will just continue to rig the flag of Ghana high.
That's Ghanaian defender Jonathan Mensah, the captain of the Major League Soccer champion Columbus Crew team. And Jonathan spoke with Yao Afusu-Larbi in Accra, Ghana.
Hello, Jonathan Mensah here, Black Stars defender and Columbus Crew captain. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Rain. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. New York City was the venue Monday night for a marquee matchup between two of basketball's biggest stars. Kevin Durant and the Brooklyn Nets edged Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks by 2 points. The AP's Tom Merriam reports.
The Brooklyn Nets followed up James Harden's successful debut with another victory, this time over a much tougher opponent, the Milwaukee Bucks, 125-123. Kevin Durant's three-point shot with 36 seconds remaining gave the Nets that lead. The Bucks' Chris Middleton missed a three-point shot at the buzzer that would have won the game for Milwaukee.
Say just the little things between the game. I think tonight the biggest thing that stands out is the offensive rebound. I think we got lucky maybe last game that we got a board. But tonight it hurt us. Just little things like that, extra possessions, turnovers, bad turnovers here and there.
Durant finished with 30 points. Harden in a second Nets game scored 34 and added 12 assists.
It's a huge win for us. This is our second game together. We haven't had one practice, you know, so we just watch film and we go off our instincts. We just try to learn on the fly.
Harden is the first NBA player to have double figures in scoring and assists in his first two games for a new team. I'm Tom Merriam.
Thanks, Tom. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 34 points, 12 rebounds, and 7 assists for the Bucks, who had their 4-game winning streak snapped in New York.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Now let's go to Los Angeles, where the Golden State Warriors made a big fourth quarter comeback to beat the defending NBA champion Los Angeles Lakers. The AP's Mark Myers reports.
The Warriors came from 14 down in the fourth quarter to stun the Lakers, 115 to 113. Golden State used a 15-2 run to overtake the world champs. Stephen Curry had an off-night shooting, just 8 for 22, but finished as the game's top scorer with 26 points.
In a night like tonight where I didn't shoot it well at all, I didn't play great. I was aggressive, but I didn't shoot it well. And then you come down, you know, fourth quarter, our team gave us an opportunity to win the game.
L.A. was led by Dennis Schroeder with 25. LeBron James, who scored 19, had a chance to win it at the end, but missed a three-pointer at the buzzer.
It's frustrating anytime you lose, you know, especially when you know you could have played better. And we know we could play much better, so you learn from all of that and you know, apply it to the next game.
Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Yo, yo, yo! Sporty greetings, man. I'm Evelyn Akato, forward for the Tigress Nigerian Women's National Team and Flams Carolo Basket. Bonjour, bonjour, my people. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contacting COVID-19. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Evelyn. Now let's go to Orlando, Florida, where the world champion U.S. Women's National Soccer Team kicked off its 2021 season Monday night with a 4-0 victory against Colombia in a friendly international match. You might say it was a family affair for the American women. Sam Mewis scored 3 goals, and her sister, Christy, scored the 4th goal for the USA. Talk to us, Sam!
Yeah, I mean, every goal was a team goal, really. I'm obviously just excited to have had that happen. It was really cool. And then to have Christy score, too, was, like, incredible and just really special. So we're just happy to be out here. It's a new year. Excited to be playing again, and it was great.
Sam Mewis says the victory was also great preparation for the USA, which will be one of the gold medal favorites at the Olympic women's football tournament later this year in Japan.
I think keeping our standards really high and continuing to push ourselves, I think we learn so much from games like this, and we learn so much from this week we've spent training and the times that we play against each other. And Black Hills just really harping on making sure that we're not just doing enough to win or doing enough to get by and make it work. We're really pushing ourselves to do the absolute most we can to grow and improve the squad. So I think that we're just going to continue to try to do that.
That's Sam Mewis of the world champion U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. Sam scored a hat trick Monday night, and her sister Christy scored the other goal for the USA, which beat Colombia 4-0 in Orlando, Florida, in a friendly international. The American women also extended their unbeaten streak to 33 matches. Their last loss was to France in a friendly international 2 years ago. And the USA's home unbeaten streak now stretches to 49 matches over 3.5 years. The last home defeat for the USA came in July 2017 against Austria in the northwest U.S. city of Seattle, Washington. And one more winning statistic. Head coach Vlatko Andonovski remained perfect through 12 matches. That's the best coaching start in U.S. women's national soccer team history. And that wraps up the January 19th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.